Read a quote several weeks ago that said, there's only one man-made thing in heaven, and that's the scars on the hands and the side of Jesus Christ. Found that song in the process, which says the only scars in heaven will be the hands that hold us when we get there. I think that's a beautiful thing, but there's a lot of living that has to be done before we make it to that place. When we get to that place, we will, according to the Scripture, have a glorified body. Today's Independence Day. But on July 2nd, 1776, when the Continental Congress was presented the Declaration of Independence, they had a couple of days to peruse it, and they made some changes. And on July the 4th, the delegates of the 13 colonies adopted the Declaration of Independence, and they decided to sever ties with Great Britain. From 1776 until the present day, the 4th of July has been celebrated kind of as the birth of American independence and freedom and self-governance. At certain times, the concept of what it means to be a citizen of the United States may seem unclear, and it may be confusing and not always appealing to some. While many citizens are passionate about their country, there are others who can't buy into patriotism wholesale with no strings attached. But there are those who deeply love the United States, and they're struggling. But the idea that the Declaration of Independence can be a guidepost should help us at this juncture. It is an unassailable document. It embodies what it means to be an American and everything that we hold dear. And so there is value in the verbiage of the Declaration of Independence. Unfortunately, we live in a day and in a time when all of our rhetoric and all of our anchoring seems to be on the things that make us or divide us as Americans. And if you were listening to me this morning, if you're watching online, you need to understand that as a believer, your allegiance is to the citizenry of heaven. Yes, I believe that you are blessed to be in America. But for the believer, you cannot cling tightly to the notion of a national heritage from whatever or wherever or any group that you might choose to align. Because as a believer, your allegiance and your alliance is to the kingdom of God and to the kingdom of God alone. Jesus makes it abundantly clear that the citizens of heaven are from every tribe and every nation and every tongue. That is our guidepost. When Paul writes to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, he says this exact thing, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. I talked about it several Sundays ago. In order to claim our new citizenship, death has to occur. And we have to lose this old body. This old body has to go away. Because there is coming for each of us who are adopted into the family of God by our faith and by our choice, a glorified body. What a great gift that will be. I told you last week that you are not a body that has a soul, but you are a soul that has been assigned a body. And that body's going to die someday, and your soul is going to be with Jesus in paradise. It is in Jesus' presence in paradise where you and I will be anticipating that glorified body. And then the day will come when God makes all things new. And we will transition from our state with Jesus in paradise to a new heaven and a new earth and a glorified body. I need you to find 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would, this morning. Because in this passage, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, tells us about this glorified body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 42. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. I want you to consider with me this morning what's going to happen to this old broken down mechanism that you got to live in until you get to go and be with Jesus in the new heaven, in the new earth, after the resurrection. I started seeing a life coach. If you were a business meeting last month, I told you that one of my goals for this year was, you know, just to continue the journey of self-improvement, and part of that is seeing a life coach. And so started seeing a life coach. I went in to see my life coach the other day, and just deadpan dry, right out of the box, he goes, "How is your body feeling this morning?" I was like, "What?" I have no idea what that has to do with life coaching, but okay. It's okay. Like, no. I want to talk about what hurts on your body today. I'm like, we only have an hour and you don't have that kind of time. Everything hurts. You know where I'm coming from? My grandmother told me when she was 88 years old that growing old is not for sissies. And what she was talking about was the breaking down of this physical body. The Apostle Paul refers to it as a canvas tent. You ever left canvas out in the woods or out in the outdoors for very long? It gets nasty and ratty and tattered. It breaks down. And he says, we got to get out of this tent in order to receive what's new. So let's talk about the body that's coming. The glorified body that's coming. Paul lines it very well in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First thing he tells us in verse 42 is that our glorified body is our forever body. You see, when Adam and Eve lived in the garden, they were created in body and in soul to live forever. Their body was not supposed to die and rot and decay, but because sin came into the world, because they disobeyed God, physical rot was the only thing that was left. Because that which is imperfect can't be where perfect is. And so they could no longer be in the presence of God. And so he exiled them outside the garden. He came up with the sacrificial system so that someday the soul that generates life in the body, which lives forever, can be reestablished with the God who created the body and the soul. Earthly bodies are planted in the ground when they die, but they will be raised to live forever. We are perishable. I was reminded of what perishable is this week. Debbie's back in Louisiana visiting her family, and so asked Tabitha what she wanted for dinner, and she said, "I want ribs." I'm like, okay. And so I opened up the freezer and I took out a big old fat rack of ribs. Not fatty, but fat rack of ribs. And thanks to Billy and Bobby Williams and their secret magic formula, I've gotten pretty good at cooking ribs. But I noticed that they didn't look right. They were still in their vacuum seal, and everything around the edges and every place there was a bone was kind of green. I'm like, that doesn't look right. But it's like, well, it's frozen, and so, you know, when it thaws out and the juices get back in the package and everything, it's going to be just fine. I did a little Google research. What happens if your ribs turn green and they're still vacuum sealed? It was really funny to read the thread. All of the ladies were like, "You got to throw that away." All of the dudes were like, "Rinse it off and cook away." It was really pretty hysterical as I sat there and read that, and I started noticing that all the ladies were like, "No, you got to throw that away." Well, when I opened the vacuum seal on the rib package, it was abundantly clear that throwing them away was the only option. They reminded me that they are perishable. They smelled really bad. It's a good thing Debbie was out of town, because if Debbie would have been in town, they would have never even been opened in the first place. They would have been discarded with the trash on Friday morning. I was going to take my shot and see. We are perishable. The song lyricist said, the moment you are born, you begin the journey towards your death. Kind of an unpleasant thought, but reality is that's true. From the moment we are born into this life, we are moving towards death. But it's part of the process to get to the body that lasts forever. You get a glorified body. It is imperishable. It will not rust. It will not corrode. It will not tarnish. It will not crumble. It will not decay. It's glorified. It is imperishable. It will be what it was designed to be at creation. How exciting is that? That we will get a forever body as designed by God in the beginning. Not only is our glorified body a forever body, but our glorified body is going to be a glorious body. And I don't mean like this. Right? Steve. I don't mean in an arrogant, I'm more beautiful than you are way. I mean in a way, like I said, that it was intended to be. It will be as God designed it to be, but was broken by sin. It will be our glorious body. Verse 43 in Corinthians 15 says, our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. He says in Philippians that he's going to transform our body from dishonor to honor. He's going to be taken what's broken and diseased and in a humble state, and it's going to be gloriously transformed. It will be a transfiguration, so to speak. And the transformation will be huge. We have some indications in nature how God takes the ugly and transforms it into the beautiful. The most logical example is that of the caterpillar to the butterfly. Ugly and fuzzy and prickly and multi-legged. And it crawls into that cocoon and out it comes. Beautiful, magnificent, colorful, free to fly. Over and over and over again in the New Testament, we're told about the seed that is planted in the ground. Unassuming, boring, tiny. And it emerges. The plant, the tree, the flower, the fruit. Completely different than what it was when it went in. We're familiar with the ugly duckling becoming the beautiful swan. Although that's not scripture, it is nature. And God has shown us over and over and over again that He is big enough to take something that is ordinary and unsatisfying and turn it into something that is glorious and magnificent. If we can be in awe by the caterpillar to the butterfly, or the seed to the fruit tree or the rose bush, how much more then should we be in awe at this that is perishable being transformed into that which is glorious? What an amazing thing it will be. What an amazing moment that will be. In heaven, we will have an imperishable body that will be glorious, but our glorified body will also be a strong body. Verse 43, he says, we will be buried in weakness, but we will be resurrected in strength. Resurrected in strength. You ever feel weak? You ever feel like your body just can't go on, can't do more? The word weakness here means frailty. I understand that. Some of the health issues that I have had through the years, I understand the concept of frailty. You ever feel frail? Science tells us that we reach our physical peak somewhere between the age of 30 and 35. I think it's funny that we talk about the midlife crisis being at 40, and yet most of us don't live to be 80. Very few athletes compete in strenuous physical sports past the age of 35. Science and medicines and trainings and techniques have helped them extend their careers, but not forever. The body breaks down. We are birthed in weakness, but we are resurrected in power. No longer are your knees going to hurt, your hips not going to ache, your arthritis is not going to keep you bent over, your rotator cuff's not going to keep you from lifting things. We're not going to need wheelchairs or walkers. Nobody's going to walk around and go, "Where are my glasses?" Won't be any of that. You're born in weakness. You'll be resurrected in power. You'll be strong. You'll be healthy. You'll be vibrant. That will be your glorified body. You will be in the physical condition that you need to be in to do everything that I talked about we're going to be doing in heaven last week. Serving and worshiping, reigning with the Father. Our glorified bodies will be strong, but our glorified bodies will also be spiritual bodies. Verse 44 says, "You're buried as a natural human body, but you'll be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies." Now let me be clear here. There are people that don't think we're actually going to have physical bodies in heaven. I think the Scripture completely discounts that notion. They say, well, we're just going to be spirit-related. We're going to be disembodied spirits floating around heaven. And Scripture doesn't teach that. Paul said, if Christ didn't come out of the grave, then your faith and my faith is worthless and we are still in sin. But Jesus came out of the grave bodily. When they got to the tomb, the body wasn't there. Why? Because Jesus was using it. That's why. There was no body. He'd risen. And the tomb was empty. And Jesus took his body with him. And in John chapter 20, when he encountered Mary, he told Mary, he said, "Hey, don't hold on to me yet, for I have not returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God." Jesus had to go through some kind of process to get his body ready to be in the presence of his Father. But his body came up out of the grave because he needed it. You're going to have a body in heaven. Not a spirit body. Look at what the Scripture says. The Scripture doesn't say you're going to have a spirit body. The Scripture says you're going to have a spiritual body. There's a difference. A spiritual body is a body that is resurrected in the image of Christ. I find it interesting that when we talk about this, there is always some debate on cremation would be a sin then, right? I don't think you can go that route. Say, well, if you destroy your body, there won't be anything at the resurrection. Here's my response to that. When this body was made in the first place, according to Psalm 103, it was made by just a collection of dust, and God breathed life into that. So if he can scoop up a handful of dust and breathe life into that, then if I decide to be cremated, he can take those ashes and he can breathe life into that. What about the people who were vaporized in war or in bomb explosions? What are you going to do with them? What about people who drowned and are buried at sea? What are you going to do with all of them? Don't mean to be crass, but they're in little fish parts all over everywhere. Listen. God is the God of the universe. He is the creator of all things. And if I am cremated, or if my body was vaporized in a nuclear explosion, or if I drowned and fell to the bottom of the sea and was eaten by the fish, God is God of the universe, and He can re-bring that body back together. He's that powerful. It won't be a spirit body. It will be a spiritual body, resurrected in the image of Christ. And this part's key. You listening? It is a spiritual body that will be rekindled by being reunited with the soul. When your physical body dies here on earth, your soul is transported to paradise. We've established that fact already. And your soul resides with Jesus in paradise until the second coming. Again, we're not going to talk about your dispensation, about pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, mid-tribulation, a-tribulation, pan-tribulation. That's my particular philosophy, is pan-tribulation, and it's all going to pan out in the end. But at some point, Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back, He's going to reunite body and soul. And the body that you get will be the glorified body, not the old earthly broken down relic that you were assigned here on earth. And when those two come back together, the body will be refitted for heavenly life and heavenly purpose. You with me? Your body will be exactly what it needs to be to live forever in its glorified condition in the presence of God, to serve God and to reign with Him throughout all of eternity. The commentary writers wrote, and I read this comment this week, "To live in your resurrected body is to experience a new mode of existence, life directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, suitable for the age to come, in a body untainted by sin or scars or death in any sense. Our glorified bodies will not bear any blemish. Our glorified bodies will not bear any scars. The only scars that will be in heaven will be in the hands and the feet of Jesus that reach out to welcome you and me when we get there, when that time comes, whenever that may be. As we move into new heaven and new earth." John writes in 1 John chapter 3, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him." Hallelujah. We shall be like Him. I don't know how you're going to celebrate Independence Day this year. But however you celebrate, you need to remember that your citizenship is really in heaven. I don't know how you're going to deal with the aches and pains that you struggle with every single day and that you will struggle with as you get older. But you need to remember that there's a new body that's coming. Let your mind dwell on those things. Let your mind think on those things. We started the message this morning with Philippians chapter 3. We eagerly await for our Savior from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. But He finishes that saying, "By who the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." There's a new body coming, people. There's a new body coming. One of the first gifts you're going to receive in the new heaven is the gift of a new and a glorified body. But you can't have the new glorified body in heaven if you don't have a new soul here on earth. And the way you have your soul reborn here on earth is through establishing a relationship to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ and to live for Him. We're going to stand as we do every week. We're going to sing. If you have not made the conscious choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ and to live for Him, the old body is the best you got. Let me encourage you during this time of singing to begin considering your life's commitment to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? There's a new body that's waiting for you someday. But you can't get it if you don't have a reborn soul in the here and now. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to this time of invitation, pray for those who are struggling with whether or not they really are born again, whether or not they have made a conscious choice to believe in and belong to you, struggling with whether or not they're simply religious and have not been in a relationship with you. The anticipation of our new bodies is a glorious thing, but help us be convinced today that we can't have it in the hereafter unless we have you in the here and now. So I pray that those in this room that don't have you in the here and now would run to you during this time of invitation. We pray in your great name. Amen.